It is so encouraging to see you all here this morning. I am encouraged by your presence. When Brother Eldridge called me and asked if I would be willing to participate, and he gave me my topic, I chomped at the bit at it. And I am thankful for him. I'm thankful for all the new friends I've met in the area in my short time here, Brother David. I'm especially grateful for his mom and dad, Brother Glenn, Sister Sarah. They're a tremendous encouragement to me, and they're very familiar with them at Loosedale. I'm glad to see Brother Ralph here this morning, Brother Ralph Tipton, Brother Wes Garland, another good friend, Brother Jared Criswell, Brother Taylor Copeland. I am encouraged, to say the least, this morning. And I hope you'll be encouraged by what we have to say this morning in our study together. Do you realize that since sin entered human history, brokenness and alienation have characterized mankind's relationship with God? The consequences of that brokenness and alienation are everywhere about us, even within. And these are words that were written by Brother Joel Johnson in an article titled, Personal Qualities for People Helpers. But as Christians this morning, we are encouraged by the fact that in this broken world, there is hope. The gospel of Christ, Christ Jesus, you know, the cross of Christ, the centerpiece of all history. When we think about the day that Christ died, that was the darkest day in the history of the world, but in another sense, it was the brightest day. It was a discouraging day in one sense, but on the other hand, as human beings, it is encouraging for us because through the cross, through the events that occurred there, by the love of the Father, by the love of Christ laying down His life, we can be reconciled unto God. And as Christians this morning, we have been, and that's the message we preach, is it not? The message of reconciliation. We are one in Christ Jesus. We are one in a broken world. And all can be one in a broken world. We have the best news in the world, do we not? Let us be encouraged by that. In a world of discouragement, we can be encouraged by the fact that we have the best news in the world, the gospel. But then that leads us to the problem. As we consider the problem of brokenness, there are times we become broken as Christians, and it's not necessarily due to sin. One way we can experience brokenness by way of discouragement. Do you realize that discouragement is often hidden? Do you realize those we walk about every day, those we are around every day, they may have a smile on their face, but we may not know that in fact they are hurting. They are discouraged. There's an account in which renowned painter, Georges Rouault, French name, so pardon my pronunciation. He came upon a circus caravan, and he saw an old clown sitting around mending his costume. And what struck the painter, what struck Rouault by this, was the contrast between the costume and the makeup worn by the clown and the sadness that the clown exuded, that this man exuded. After this, Rouault launched a series of circus-themed paintings, which are considered symbolic of mankind's tendency, like that crown, to project to others an image quite different from what is really going on inside of him. You see the challenge we're facing today? We're building this foundation. We have a tendency as humans, even as Christians, and let's there are several elders, there are several gospel preachers here in our auditorium this morning. And I want to make it a special application to us. As gospel preachers, as elders, and every Christian for that matter, we have a tendency to not allow others to see us vulnerable. At times as a gospel preacher, we may think, or as an elder, we may think, hey, if others see me vulnerable, well, they'll think I'm weak. They'll think there's something bad wrong with me. And I think the problem we have is we tend to make, you know, as Christians, we tend to view Gospel preachers, we tend to view elderships as just being elders as superhumans. As superhumans. And thus we view discouragement as weakness. And thus the effort to try to hide it. Many times then we become discouraged. We want to mask it, pretend everything is all right. That nothing's wrong. And so it eats away at us. It chips away at our faith. As a Christian this morning, make no mistake about us, all of us become discouraged from time to time. And why do we need encouragement? And we're going to talk more about this. Because we live in a world of discouragement. Many people believe they cannot be saved from sin because they're unworthy. They just feel they've done too many horrible things and they're so discouraged. They believe there's no hope for them. How can we reach out to them with the best news in the world if we ourselves cannot overcome discouragement? So this lesson is primarily focusing toward us as Christians today so we can better minister to those who are discouraged by telling them there is hope. And that hope is the gospel of Christ. That hope is in Christ. As we think about ourselves as God's people today, make no mistake about it, all of us are going to become discouraged from time to time. Even the most faithful that God had. Look, read your Bible. Look, read through God's Word. You read through the Old Testament. Read through the New. Moses became discouraged. Job of old became discouraged. With all that he had to go through, he became discouraged. Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Remember what happened on Mount Carmel when he defeated the prophets of Baal? And then you remember how Jezebel reacted. She wanted to put him out of the land of the living. And then you remember what Elijah did? He ran and hid. And he felt he was all alone in the world. He felt there was no hope. And this is a preacher of God, a prophet of God. And he felt he was all alone. He felt there was no hope. He wanted to die. Today, faithful Christians, including elders, preachers, teachers, parents, grandparents, teenagers, we become discouraged. How often do we as Christians who are actively engaged in trying to live the transformed life deal with discouragement? We get discouraged. And there's nothing wrong with or sinful in being discouraged. But make no mistake about it, Satan's going to attempt to use it to drive us away from God. And why do we need to be as strong as we can as Christians so we can minister to the lost who are discouraged? Who Satan has convinced that they cannot be saved. That is why. So we cannot just effectively minister to them, so that we can effectively minister to one another. How many elder resignations? How many preachers burning out? As a gospel preacher this morning, you don't have to raise your hand. There's several of us here. How many times have you gotten to the point you've burned out? I've been there, done that. How many times have you been discouraged when you've been talking with people about the good news of salvation, the gospel, and they just simply decide to end the study right then and there? How discouraging is it when you've been involved in a Bible study with others, they come to knowledge of what they know they need to do, and they tell you right then and there, I know what I need to do, I just don't want to do it. How can you not be discouraged? Am I correct? We need to recognize discouragement is a test. And one of our responsibilities as Christians is to bear one another's burdens. We are servants of God. We are ministers. And you remember, Christ Himself said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Or in other words, He said, I came not to serve, but to be served, but to serve. Brother Job pointed out, in his lesson, which was marvelous. As Christians, as servants, we need to be John 13 Christians. Those willing to serve, as Christ did. Helping others. helping all, and helping one another especially. And we are called to serve in love, as Paul would write in the Galatian letter, Galatians 5:13-15. And so in the context of our study together this morning, we are going to learn how to minister to those who are discouraged, a burden we must help them bear. Now, I recognize every man that what Paul said, every man must bear his own. But yet, and there's also this sense that we bear one another's burdens. While we bear our own, others can help us bear those burdens. And while others bear their own, we can help them bear those burdens, can we not? But here's the thing as well. God can help us. We cast our burdens on Him. Why? Because He cares. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7. So how can we then minister to the discouraged? And this lesson is going to hopefully provide us with the necessary answers. And in our study, we first of all need to understand what it means to be discouraged. We need to define it. The best way to help, the most effective way to help is first of all understanding what our term means. Then we're going to look at some causes as to why we become discouraged. And then we're going to primarily look at the ways by which we can minister to the discouraged. And again, this is not going to be exhaustive. You can probably think of some other ways that you will be able to add to the list as well. First of all, consider with me what it means to be discouraged. And I found these in Mr. Webster's dictionary. Good old Webster, huh? What does discourage mean? Well, the idea is to extinguish the courage of, to dishearten, to depress the spirits, to deject, to deprive of confidence. You know, as Christians, we need to be confident people. We are God's people. God is with us. But yet it's so easy to lose it, is it not? Think about Israel of old, how they lost their confidence in God in the wilderness. We're very familiar with what happened to them. That's the ultimate result of what discouragement can do for us. And that speaks to us of the importance of this study. We can be derived of confidence. We can be so disheartened that we give up. You ever gotten to the point where you simply wanted to give up? As a gospel preacher, I can relate. There's been times when I've preached, I've just said, I want to give up. But after praying and reflection and talking with Susan and other brethren, you know what's going on? Is that Satan's trying to get to me. He wants us to quit. He wants elders to quit. He wants gospel preachers to quit. He wants the members who sit in the pews to quit. He wants Bible class teachers to quit. He wants us to become disheartened. God doesn't. And that's the idea of discouraged, is to be disheartened. Now, discouragement is the act of disheartening or depriving of courage, the act of deterring or dissuading from undertaking, the act of depressing confidence, that which destroys or abates courage, that which depresses confidence or hope, that which deters or tends to deter from an undertaking. Discouragement can keep us from serving others, from helping others, from teaching others. If you don't have Brother Aubrey Johnson's book, The Barnabas Factor, I encourage everyone to pick up that book. I like how he explains discouragement on page 38. Let me share this quote with you. Brother Johnson says that discouragement is the stage a person has reached when he has consciously or unconsciously decided there is little or no hope. As a Christian, we think about the hope we have. The hope of eternal life. The hope that the whole world can have. And you think about the consequences that discouragement can bring to us. This can be limited, though, to a specific endeavor, or one can be totally discouraged about life and the ability to make a meaningful contribution to it. And there's Christians. You know, and let's encourage right now our older Christians, those who are shut in. They need encouragement. One of the most encouraging things, Brother Ralph knows what I'm talking to me Sunday, was seeing our oldest member at Loosedale, Sister Marilyn Hatcher, at services. Sister Marilyn's not, she's going to be 99 years old her birthday. And she suffers with a lot of ailments, but there she was at worship services. That's encouraging. Now, can she serve as she would probably like to? Can she do all the things that, you know, we all want to do? No. But that's encouraging. You know, when we get down, when we lose health, we're going to talk more about this here in a moment. When we lose our health, when we get down, we need to remember there are things we can do. We can be encouraged. We can still contribute. A kind word can go a long way. Those members especially need to be encouraged. It's easy for them to become discouraged, is it not? When they've been able to do things for so long, when they've been able to help in the work of the Lord for so long, and yet now they're at home. They can't get out due to illness, due to an injury. And that's when they're most vulnerable, is it not? It's when they feel they can't make a meaningful contribution. Again, you look at, you know, this may not be the best example, but you think about the poor widow who gave her mites. A lot of people would think of that as not being a meaningful contribution. What did Christ think of it? That was very meaningful. In fact, it was more meaningful than what those Jews had done. Little things mean a lot. Again, I love 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Every member in the body is important. Every member has his or her function. Even the most feeble of members, as Paul would talk about, even those we view as less important. And again, let me stress, there is not a single member of the body of Christ that's more important than others. Every single Christian is important to the functioning of the body. Everyone is important. But when people become discouraged, they either anticipate failure, which causes them to perform poorly, as Brother Johnson observes, or they simply give up, despairing of any chance to succeed. I have a sermon that I preach titled, and it's based on Galatians 6, 7 and following, "Don't give up, don't ever give up." When Paul writes to the Galatian brethren, don't be weary in well-doing. You know, in several translations, I believe the ESV and others say, don't give up. And I use as an illustration in that the late Jim Valvano. If you remember his speech from the 1993 ESPYs, the man was riddled with bone cancer, and yet he got up there and gave a moving speech. In fact, he spoke longer than any of the others that very evening. And what made the impression on was his line, don't give up, don't ever give up. And that's the basis for that lesson, and that's encouraging. So as Christians, when we become discouraged, we need to learn to not give up. To never give up. But understanding what it is, why do we become discouraged? And there's various reasons. You know, negative thinking. Always thinking negatively. Thinking the sky is always falling. Looking at the glass as half empty rather than being half full. Which results in an I can't mindset. Well, I can't do this. If anyone could have said that, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, who is my strength. And you think about where he was when he penned those words, in a Roman jail cell. That puts a bit of a different spin on things for us, does it not? I can. I can overcome. And that's the thing we're going to have to get through into our minds, is I can. I can do it. What about personal failures? And again, we all have struggles. We struggle with sin. Paul did that. He makes this point in Romans 7. We can become discouraged with our own personal and spiritual tug of war. And as brethren, we can encourage one another in our walk as Christians. But this is not, sin alone is not the lone avenue in this. Failing to achieve personal goals, trying one's best while still falling short, breeds discouragement. We talked about illness. But even the best of God's people become ill. Epaphroditus was nigh unto death. Job, he lost his health. But it can cause us to be discouraged because we cannot do what we want to do or serve as we normally would. But we can still do some things. Remember a lady back at a congregation I preached in North Alabama sometime several years ago. Susan knows who I'm talking about. Sister Mary, I'm going to give her by name. Sister Mary Davis. She suffered from chronic depression. And she would always tell me, "Brother Robert, I can't really do much. But I can, when I go to the doctor, I pass out, I leave tracts and I leave, you know, house to house, you know, I leave all these things." And she was so excited when she would come in the door on Sunday morning. And she would say, "Well, and all the doctor's offices are getting tired of me leaving all these tracts. When they see me, she told me one time, I don't know if she told you this, Susan, but she told me at one time they called her the tract lady. She said, at least this way people can learn, come to know God's Word. And you know, that was encouraging to me. Because here you have a lady, a dear Christian lady, suffering with mental illness. And yet, and she realized she couldn't do everything she wanted to do, but yet she did what she could do. And that's what we have to get across, is that we may not be able to do everything, but let us learn to do what we can do. I'm going to have to hurry along here. Loss of loved ones can cause us to become discouraged. You know, we all experience death. You know, we can often get to the point we can't carry on. Some become so discouraged they grieve themselves to death. And I'm familiar with this. My grandmother, Alexander, I lost both grandparents on my daddy's side, on the Alexander side, within 6 weeks of one another in 1993. My granddaddy died of colon cancer. My grandmother died 6 weeks later because she grieved herself to death. She felt like life wasn't worth living. And it is. We all have something to contribute. We have value. We have worth. We have to teach people. We have to encourage them that they do. Stress causes us to become discouraged. Friends turning on us cause us to be discouraged. And we've all been there, done that. Even Christ himself. Judas betrayed Christ. I mean, you look at the worst betrayal in the world. Demas forsook Paul. Discouraging? Absolutely. But in Christ, we have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother, as the Proverbs writer would teach us. And that brings to mind a whole host of other encouraging passages. The effects, loss of productivity, a distorted view of reality. Elijah had this problem. He thought he was all alone. He thought he was the only faithful of God left in Israel. God gently corrected him. God encouraged him. And make no mistake about it, God didn't rebuke Elijah there. He encouraged Elijah. And God encourages us through His Word. It can cause us to devalue ourselves, feeling worthless. You know, Elijah had this. I'm no better than my fathers. Depression, even isolation. Just where we want to be by ourselves, no one else. And again, that cannot be. Man is a social creature. No man is an island unto himself. Remember the old Simon and Garfunkel song, "I am a rock, I am an island"? We're not. And the church is designed for us to enjoy fellowship, not with God, with Christ, but with one another. Because we need one another. We're not all in this alone. We can help one another go to heaven. We are to help others go to heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thought? So how do we minister effectively? What are some things we can do? Well, number one, we need to be concerned. Discouragement is a burden. Make no mistake about it. And it is our responsibility to help bear one another's burdens. And we must show concern for the discouraged. It shows our love for them. It shows we want to help them overcome their discouragement. And I would suggest as well, the discouraged are often neglected people as well. We're not neglected physically, materially speaking, or any of that. But just as far as support goes, we can neglect the discouraged. Again, you look through the Bible, God didn't neglect the discouraged. He didn't neglect Elijah. When Moses became discouraged, He didn't neglect him. Think about Christ. He didn't neglect His disciples, remember? And prior to His going to the cross, look at John 16:33. He told them, don't be discouraged. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And that's before He suffered horribly. Isn't that marvelous? But we need to be concerned. We must be diligent to have a tender and compassionate heart to those who struggle with the trials of life. We dare not close our heart to them. What about those who are outside of Christ thinking there's no hope? Again, we share with them there is hope. We share with them the good news. We encourage them. In fact, in a couple of months down the line, I'm going to preach a series of sermons at Loosedale on encouragement. And one of the lessons is going to be titled Encouraging the Lost. That there is hope. That hope is the gospel, the hope of of Christ, the hope that the cross makes possible. And that God is willing to forgive. The blood of Christ is powerful enough to cleanse the toughest, the vilest of sins away. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look what the gospel did in his life. But we have to be concerned and give encouragement. And there are a few things help a person the way encouragement does. Again, it can be just a kind word. Your presence. Simple pat on the back. George Adams called encouragement the oxygen to the soul. It revitalizes us, does it not? Johann Wolfgang von Goethe noted, "Correction does much, but encouragement after censure is as the sun after a shower." That's the power of encouragement. You know, it's easy to reprove and rebuke. But then those who are rebuked need that encouragement. They need to be lifted up. You think how many times God's Word offers rebuke, but then look how many times God offers encouragement. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that marvelous? When a person is encouraged, they can face and overcome difficulties. They can overcome adversity. And that's what Christ wanted His disciples to know. We need to spend time with them. We need to show them we care. That's how we do it. You know, as Christians, we enjoy fellowship one with another. Nothing is more encouraging than spending time with one another. We can lift and refresh one another. Our presence. We need to help them tackle the source of their discouragement. Now here's a tough one. And there have been times I've been discouraged. People have tried to help me, and I've tried to keep it to myself. And now I'm speaking from experience here. The challenge is getting people to open up. We have to build trust. Find out what or who has caused them to be discouraged. Then discuss possible ways to help deal with it. Again, that's a challenge. But if you can get the discouraged talking, that often helps. And it helps me. Let me give you an example personally. One of my dear friends in Christ is a younger preacher. But he is a tremendous encourager. When I've been discouraged, I talk to him. Oh, there are times he may give me a rebuke as needed. But then there are times he'll just offer up an encouraging word to me. His name's Brother Gotten Montgomery. And he knows exactly what to say when I need encouragement. He is truly a Barnabas, as it were. You know, we need to help tackle the source. We need to change the thought processes. Again, getting people to stop thinking negatively. And as a gospel preacher, even at times there, I wrestle with this, thinking, I can't do it, you know. Then I'm reminded, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are times I struggle with anxiety. When you get up before crowds at times, you get nervous and you think, I can't do it. That's why I always keep Philippians 4:13 running through my mind. One of the most encouraging passages in the Bible. And that passage has truly helped me and continues to help me. And I think it would help every Christian if they would just put it into practice in their life, the I can mindset that the Apostle Paul had. Is it always easy to do it? Is it always easy to think positively rather than negatively? No. And the reason being is we are human. We're Christians, but we're still human. And that's encouraging as a gospel preacher is to know that, and I remind brethren of this, I remind everyone of this. I remind those I'm teaching of this as well, that hey, I'm just like you. I'm a human being. I'm subject to the same struggles you are. There's nothing more special about me. I'm a human being. I'm a child of God, but I'm still a human being. So we need to get people to change their thought processes. Pray with them. Prayer. Brethren, I'm convinced one of the problems we face today is we don't spend enough time in prayer. God wants us to pray. James teaches us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Think about the Apostle Paul's prayer life. Better yet, think about Jesus' prayer life. Jesus is our perfect example. Why don't we, you know, we need to follow His example of having a constant prayer life. In fact, when we pray with the discouraged, we pray with them, helping them to overcome. And that's part of praying. You think about 2 Corinthians 12:9 and following. You think about this. I also have another sermon I preach. Does anyone really have it all together? You know, think about Paul. We often look at our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Some come in and think they're perfect when, you know, we're all struggling with things. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He besought God 3 times. But you know what God's answer was? My grace is sufficient for thee. You know, when we pray to God, when we pray with the discouraged, God's going to hear. God will answer. We just have to get them to cast their cares upon Him. We have to cast our cares upon Him as well, our burdens. As such, we need to help the discouraged look for the rainbow, to help them count their blessings. We often sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. No matter how bad things may seem to be, again, how we perceive them to be, No matter how bad they may seem to be, they aren't as bad as they seem, now are they? Things can always be worse. Now, we think about when we get sick. I know we're, as men, we're often called big babies when we get sick. You know what? We think things are the end of the world when we get sick. But you know what? Things could be much worse. You know, with our brethren who are shut in, that you know, their discouragement, encourage them. You're alive. God's blessed you with another day here on this earth. You may not have your health, but you have your life. You have friends. You have family. There are reasons to be encouraged. But no matter the factors producing the discouragement, never will things be so bad they outweigh the bounty of blessings that are so great a part of our lives as Christians. The riches we enjoy in Christ Jesus. That reminds us that things... And here's another thing. We're going to mention this. We need to remember the promises of God. Remember that hope of eternal life, that this world is not our home, just a passing through. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. When we are discouraged, when we minister to them, remind them of God's exceeding great and precious promises. When we minister to the discouraged who are outside of Christ, remind them of the promise of Christ in Mark 16:16. Again, Christ as Son of God cannot lie. If we need to teach them, encourage them. If you simply submit to God's will, God, you're saved. God promises. God cannot lie. As Christians, we need to keep our minds on the promises of God at all times, as well as we live in this present world, as we minister to the discouraged, both outside the body, as well as those of us who are discouraged in the body. We need to remember discouragement is temporary. Psalm 30, verse 5. And remember, they are never alone, and we got to close now. Hebrews 13:5, God will never leave us nor forsake us. During World War II, a boy wrote to his father who was having trouble. His words to his father included, God never overlooks anybody. If you're discouraged this morning, remember, God is there. With God, we are never alone, even though others may forsake us. That's why we hold to God's unchanging hand. Discouragement is a burden no one should ever have to or can bear alone. That's why we are called to minister, to serve. We are to serve, we are to minister to the discouraged. Because we all have or will face discouragement. Let us then strive to do all we can to minister to those who are dealing with discouragement themselves. So they in turn will help us when we need it, remembering at all times that we truly are our brother's keeper. May God bless us as we seek to help those and minister to those who are discouraged. May God bless us. Thank you so much for your kind attention. I appreciate your kind attention. And I appreciate the good brethren conducting this lectureship, and I especially appreciate the encouraging theme for this year. Thank you so much.